Live from the Press Room Pub, this is a special NCAA tournament edition of Orange Nation.
Yes, it is a special edition of Orange Nation today, 11 to 12 Eastern, here in Syracuse, New York. We are getting you ready on this Thursday afternoon. Let's face it, it's the best Thursday and Friday of the year. It's the best 2 days on the sports calendar. It's one of the great days of the year. If you're a sports fan, you sit back, you relax, you don't do any work, and you watch basketball, you listen to basketball for 12 straight hours today and tomorrow. There will be basketball on your TV. There will be basketball to watch, to just sit back, enjoy, to procrastinate while you're at work, to listen to. I suggest, honestly, I know there's the boss button on the video streams, and they make up some fake PowerPoints and stuff. I suggest just getting one of those AirPod things that Apple makes, and you could just stick it in your ear, and you can have our computer, our program going, our stream. You can check it out on ESPNSyracuse.com. We've got all the information on how to stream these games, and it'll be really easy to just hide that little, you know, Bluetooth headphone in your ear. It's very small. Nobody will know you're listening. You can just hide it, you know, put your hand on your cheek as you sit at the office, at the desk, and you can get all the tournament action all day long. That's how I would do it if I were sitting in an office. I'm not. I'm sitting at the Press Room Pub. I'm just going to sit here and watch basketball all day. I don't think I'm going back to the office. I'm not going to do it. Tim, who's here with all our equipment, our engineer, he can go back to the office. He can deal with all that stuff. I'm staying here. I am not going back.
Paulie, I have no idea where Seth is at. I haven't seen him.
I hope Paulie isn't listening back in the studio, because there's no chance. There's no chance I leave. The Press Room Pub is the place to be. We've got the TVs on already. Right now, it's The Price is Right, which is, I can't think of a better lead-in to college basketball than The Price is Right. But eventually, it will be the NCAA tournament, all four games going on, starting at 12:15, the first tip-off. We'll get to kind of around the bracket in a little bit. We'll get to Stephen Fonte from Salt Lake City in just a little bit. But we've got to start with the news of the day, right? The news of the last 24 hours. And that is Frank Howard. Frank Howard, if somehow you haven't heard over the last 19 hours, Frank Howard will not be playing for Syracuse tonight. Frank Howard, it doesn't seem, would play if they were to advance Saturday, as has been reported out there. He's suspended indefinitely for a violation of athletic department policy. The Daily Orange reporting that is a failed drug test. It remains to be seen. I don't know that we will get that word officially from the athletic department, however. The loss of Frank Howard on the court, the loss of Frank Howard on the floor, is a big one. And you can debate this. You really can, because I know Frank is kind of a touch-and-go subject. Right, he's had an up and down 4 years. He's had a hit or miss tenure here at Syracuse, where at times he's looked really good. At times he's looked like he's taking that step forward. At times you get really excited about what Frank Howard is doing. And then at times he throws a pass behind his back that is so terrible it gets stolen and it goes the other way for an easy fast break layup like he did at NC State. So I understand that he's a bit of a touch and go subject, but there is this one fact about it that cannot be denied, and that is that losing Frank Howard is a really big loss for this team. He's your senior guard. He's another ball handler. He's somebody who's been through this war before, quote unquote. I hate using the term, been through the wars before, but he has. He's been through this NCAA tournament run. He did it last year. He did it as a freshman when he came out and put up a huge game against Gonzaga as a freshman and was a really big piece to getting that team along to that Final Four. Frank Howard is a big loss. He's great defensively on this team. And how about this? And I didn't quite realize these numbers until just a couple of moments ago before the show. But Frank Howard, since the NC State game, on February 13th, Frank Howard is shooting 48% from three. And you might think, okay, that's a small sample size. They haven't played that many games in the last, you know, 5-6 weeks. No, they have. I mean, they've played enough games. He shot 54 three-pointers in that time period. So he certainly has taken a lot of threes in that span, in that five to six week span that I broke down here. He's 26 of 54 from beyond three. That's 48%. And, oh, by the way, he's a really good defensive player. Oh, by the way, he's a second ball handler to have out there on the court. Really the only other ball handler that you feel comfortable with outside of Tyus Battle if your team were to face pressure. So don't undersell this. You know, don't undersell how big a loss this is for Syracuse. Don't just look at it and say, well, you know, it's Frank Howard. He's been up and down, whatever. They can get by without him. I don't necessarily know that that's the case. I don't necessarily know that they can make some kind of deep run or get to the second weekend without Frank Howard. You know, I look at him. And I say, yes, he's been up and down. Yes, he's been inconsistent. Yes, you never know what you're going to get when he gets out there and plays. But over the course of this season, and really over the last 6 weeks to 2 months, he's become a knockdown shooter. He's become a threat from beyond the three-point arc. He's become somebody who you can rely on, especially as a catch-and-shoot shooter, to hit a three when you need one. As I mentioned before, he's the one person on this team that you feel really comfortable about handling the ball outside of Tyus Battle. He's the one person that you feel really comfortable having the ball in their hands when you're facing pressure outside of Tyus Battle. And I think that that aspect will be the biggest difference. Because, yeah, his three-point shooting, that's a nice addition, but Buddy Boeheim gives you that. And let's make no mistake, Buddy Boeheim is the one who's going to replace Frank Howard in this lineup. It's not Jalen Carey. It's going to be Buddy. So Buddy gives you three-point shooting, but he doesn't give you that extra ball handler. He doesn't give you that extra dribbler. He doesn't give you that extra safety blanket to get the ball over half court, to keep moving against pressure. You don't feel comfortable if Buddy's got to bring the ball up multiple times against a pressure defense. You just don't. And it's not even necessarily something against Buddy. That's not what he's supposed to be doing at this stage in his career. He's a freshman guard. He's a freshman two guard. He's a shooter. He's a scorer. He's not a point guard. It took Frank Howard a year or two or three until you felt even remotely comfortable with him handling the ball against pressure. You could argue that you still don't feel great about it. But he was the second best ball handler on this team outside of Tyus Battle. And we've seen that sometimes when Tyus Battle is the primary ball handler, that teams can really create problems by using pressure. Because if Tyus isn't bringing the ball up court, then it has to go to O'Shea, or it has to go to Elijah, or it has to go to Buddy. And the fact of the matter is that none of them are great ball handlers. None of them are great with the ball in their hands. And that can create problems. And then there's the defensive aspect of this. And Frank Howard is one of the best defensive players that Syracuse has, if not the best defensive player that Syracuse has. He's great at the top of that zone. He's long. He's lanky. He creates problems at the top of that zone. This is a big loss for Syracuse. I don't think there's any way around it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Does it change my thoughts on tonight's game? Does it change my thought that they're going to win tonight? Not necessarily. But it does change my thoughts for after that, if they were to get past tonight. Tonight, to me, still feels like a toss-up. It still feels like it's very much in that same situation. Obviously, I felt more confident if Frank Howard was going to play for this Syracuse team. But at the very least, it still feels like a toss-up game. It still feels like a game where they can get out and they can bother Baylor. They can create some problems and they can do just enough offensively and still get by and still win. But after that, you're going to go play Gonzaga? You're going to go beat Gonzaga without Frank Howard? I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. So that's what this Frank Howard injury does to me. it makes Syracuse a lesser team. It makes the, or it's not an injury, suspension. That's what this suspension does, at least in my mind. It makes Syracuse a lesser team. They're not as good without Frank Howard. And even though that might sound like stating the obvious, I know that there were probably a lot of you out there who said, ah, Frank, he's been up and down for 4 years. Never know what you're going to get. Whatever, not a big loss. It's a big loss. There's no sugarcoating that. Why don't we take our first time out here? We'll come back. We'll keep rolling with Syracuse and Baylor, diving into tonight's game. Your call's welcome at 315-437-7644. Telephone number to join the program on Twitter at SethGoldberg17. We'll be back after this on Orange Nation.
Live from the Press Room Pub, this is a special NCAA tournament edition of Orange Nation.
Seth Goldberg with you here live from the Press Room Pub as we get you ready for the NCAA tournament. 45 minutes until the start of the greatest two-day stretch of the sports calendar. 24 hours of basketball over a 36-hour span. It does not get much better than that. Let's dive into tonight's game, Syracuse and Baylor, and a matchup that we've talked about a lot this week, and your thoughts welcome, as always, 315-437-7644 is the telephone number, or on Twitter, at SethGoldberg17. But a game that I feel like we've talked about a lot this week, and we've spent a lot of time breaking it down because, quite frankly, we've had the time. You've had, you know, 4 days to do nothing but think of these two teams. 4 days to do nothing but think of these teams, and you're going to get more time. This game's not going to start until 10 o'clock tonight. But with that being said, you look at Syracuse and Baylor, and to just state the obvious right away, they're two evenly matched teams. They're 8-9 seeds. They're not, you know, one of them is not more physically imposing than the other. You're not going to be able to physically impose your will on the other team when you're in the 8-9 game. You're just not going to be able to do that because, you know, these teams have two pretty similar resumes. These teams have, you know, two pretty similar seasons and stories. And we talked to Paul Catalina yesterday from ESPN Central Texas, and he kind of made that point as well. You know, there are times that Baylor has looked very good. There are also times, like the end of the year, where they lost four straight games. So you look at Baylor, and you look at Syracuse, and you say, you know what? Yeah, these two teams are pretty similar. They went through gauntlets of a conference schedule, one in the ACC, one in the Big 12. And at the end of the day, they look like they are pretty similar teams. Not in style of play, but in resume. And so I do think that it'll be a close, back-and-forth, kind of grinded-out game for Syracuse. They're gonna have to play well to win, don't get me wrong. But it feels like a very winnable game, and Syracuse is the favorite out in Vegas. Syracuse is the higher seed. I believe Syracuse is the better team, even without Frank Howard tonight. But they are still going to have to play a good game to win. And the thing that we were all looking at before we heard about the Frank Howard suspension, before we heard about the fact that the senior point guard was going to be out for Syracuse, the thing that we were all looking at was, okay, how do you get Tyus Battle involved in the game again? How do you get Tyus Battle back involved with this team without taking away from the great work that Frank Howard did at the ACC tournament last week? Now you don't have to worry about that. Now you slide Tyus Battle into that role and you say, hey, go make a play. Go make something happen. You've got the ball in your hands. Go make something happen here. Because that's where Tyus Battle, I'm not going to say he succeeded, but he is the best with his with the ball in his hands. Not to make plays for others, but to make plays for himself. And that's what Frank Howard was doing last week. Frank was making a lot of shots. Frank was taking a lot of shots. Frank was getting into the lane. Yeah, he was distributing a little bit. But for the most part, he was making plays for himself. And that's where Tyus is at his best. Give him the ball at the top of the key and say, go, attack, go to work. Make something happen here. Make a play. Make a basket. Because that's what Tyus Battle is. Tyus Battle is a scorer. He is I struggle to call him a playmaker. He's a bucket maker. He's not looking to drive and kick. He's looking to drive and shoot and score. So if he can do what Tyus what Frank Howard did last week, which quite frankly looked a lot like Tyus Battle, then this Syracuse team will be quite all right. To me, this kind of change, this movement for the Orange became a little bit easier when Frank was suspended. That's going to sound weird. That's going to sound silly. But to me, it feels a little easier to get Tyus Battle back involved in this offense when you don't have to worry about getting another guard shots. If that makes sense. You now don't have to worry about, well, Frank just played so well, he's going to want to have to get his. But Tyus Battle is still the man, still the leader, still the alpha dog on this team. He's got to get his. He's got to get his 15 to 17 to 19 shots a game. But, oh, by the way, Frank Howard is playing as well as he has all season, and maybe as well as he has in his Syracuse career. He's going to want to get his points. He's going to want to get his shots, his opportunity. He's on the big stage as well. And with Frank out, you don't have that anymore. And you can tell Tyus Battle, hey, take the ball, go make a play, go make something happen. Go get to the basket, go get to the free throw line, get your points on the board. The other keys to me looking at this team, the other keys to me are Buddy Boeheim. See how he steps up in this role. He played incredibly well at the ACC tournament when the lights were the brightest, when the stage was the biggest, so to speak. He played incredibly well last week in Charlotte. So can he play well again? Can he hit shots? That's really all you need from him. Play good defense, hit some shots when you're open. Maybe take a dribble and hit an 18-foot jumper. You're not looking for too much out of Buddy. You're not even necessarily looking for the 15 and 20 points he gave you last week at the ACC tournament. But a contribution would be nice. And I think, quite honestly, one of the biggest keys for Syracuse, now that they don't have Frank Howard on the outside of the zone, now that they don't have Frank Howard up top to create problems, to force steals, to force turnovers, to get out in transition, because they don't have Frank doing that, which is one of the biggest aspects of Frank Howard's game for the Orange. I think one of the biggest keys for SU might be Pascal Tshukwu. We saw the difference he can make if he's, to borrow a phrase and repurpose it, if he's plugged in Tshukwu rather than, not. If he can go and perform well here on a tournament stretch, if he can go and block shots like he was in the second half of that Pittsburgh game, create turnovers like he did in the second half of that Pittsburgh game, gobble up every rebound like he did in the second half of that game last week in Charlotte. If he can just play well defensively, you don't need anything from him offensively because the impact on the game is so great. And I think that tonight is really the night that Pascal is going to have that opportunity. Baylor is not a big team. Yes, they've got guys who rebound well, and we heard yesterday from Paul Catalina that Mark Vital is somebody who's only 6'5", but plays a lot bigger. I get it, but they're not a big team. So if they do come into the lane, can Pascal Tshukwu make life hard on them? Can Pascal Tshukwu get out and block shots or alter shots or change shots or force turnovers? It changes the complexion of the entire defense when you've got that behind you, right? When you've got Pascal Tshukwu at 7'2" in the back line of that defense, making plays, making things happen, it changes the risks that the rest of the defense can take. It changes some of the things that the rest of the defense can do. And it has an incredible, incredible impact on the game. So I think that that's something that has to be looked at and has to be discussed when you're talking about tonight's game. Pascal Tshukwu might have no impact offensively. He might have one or two baskets. He might, dunk the ball once or twice. But his impact has to come on the defensive end. He can't foul out in 7 minutes like he did against Duke last week. By the way, an impressive task, if you ask me, fouling out in 7 minutes, 5 fouls in 7 minutes. That's unbelievable to me. I don't know how that's even possible. But Pascal managed to do it. I would say that you need more out of him to state the obvious. You need him to play like he did against Pittsburgh, where he was just a dominating force in that game. You need him to perform like that in this game tonight. And I think that he can, given Baylor's size and given, you know, the type of team that Baylor is. He has the ability to really create some problems here in this game tonight. And yeah, that might be one of the biggest keys. Getting the defense right. Because without Frank Howard, it's going to be tough to get steals and make plays on the outside. That's what Frank is so good at. But you might be able to make plays and block shots and get steals on the inside if Pascal Chukwu is playing well. Why don't we take a timeout here? We'll come back. We'll go through the NCAA tournament bracket a little bit more. Go through some of today's games. We'll have Stephen Fonte coming up in about 20 minutes as well. Our Orange Nation special here from the Press Room Pub continues until 12 o'clock, and the NCAA tournament begins at noon here on ESPN Radio.
Live from the Press Room Pub, this is a special NCAA tournament edition of Orange Nation.
Back on ESPN Radio, Seth Goldberg with you half an hour until tip-off of the 2019 NCAA tournament. I know, we got those games last night and Tuesday night, but this is the real tip-off. The tip-off of 12 straight hours of basketball coverage here on ESPN Radio Syracuse. Of course, on your television screens. On the television screens here at the Press Room Pub, we're looking around and getting ready for these tournament games. I'm trying to scout out a position to sit and watch all four of these games this afternoon. I hope the bosses aren't listening. I probably should be a little quieter with this, but I'm not going back to the office. So if you want to take an extended lunch break and come hang out at the Press Room Pub, or skip out on a half day of work, come hang out. We'll be here again tomorrow from 11 to 12 o'clock to get you ready for the NCAA tournament once again. We've got Stephen Fonte on the line now from Salt Lake City. I know we said we would do him later, but we shuffled some stuff around, and we got Steve on the line with us here, coming to us from Salt Lake. So, Steve, thanks for getting up and joining us. And we got to start with Frank Howard. What was your reaction when you heard this Frank Howard news last night? And you guys were just getting ready to talk to the players and watch practice, right?
Yeah, we were in between some live hits, and you're right. We were getting ready to go into their locker room to talk to the players, and Jim Boeheim was supposed to address the media about 20 minutes after that. I think my initial reaction was something along the lines of, are you kidding me? Because, doesn't it seem like this always happens to Syracuse around this time? There's an unfortunate injury or suspension or some curveball thrown to this team. They've had to deal with a lot of adversity over the years, especially this time of year. And here's just the latest form of adversity in this indefinite suspension to Frank Howard. I will say this, the fact that this team just dealt with a similar thing a week ago, obviously the circumstances were different. It was an injury to Tyus Battle, not a suspension. But Tyus was unavailable for the ACC tournament. Buddy had to be inserted into the starting lineup. I thought Buddy played awfully well. And we've seen that as, the years progressed, and once Syracuse got into ACC conference play during the regular season, Buddy's come on strong, and the three guards, I don't want to say the word interchangeable, because Tyus, obviously you want him out there more often than not, but to some degree Buddy and Frank were interchangeable. Frank would go out of the game, Tyus would go to the point, and Buddy showed that he was effective on both ends of the floor. So long term, I think this absolutely hurts Syracuse. Don't get me wrong, you would much rather have your senior starting point guard in the game than not. I think tonight, though, I don't know how much of an impact it's necessarily going to have on tonight's game. I think long term it's a problem. I still like SU's chances tonight, though.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I agree with that. I think, yeah, long term it hurts. Long term, it would affect this team. If they were to advance after today, right, and play in that game tomorrow on Saturday against Gonzaga, I don't see how they would win that game without Frank Howard, whereas I thought that they could win that game with Frank Howard. So that's where it changes things for me. So I'm with you. Tonight, I don't know how much of a difference it makes, but moving forward much beyond that, it certainly does make a difference.
There's no doubt. And you look at how Syracuse is going to have to go about beating Gonzaga on Saturday. I mean, it's the highest scoring team in the country. So it's going to be, in my opinion, one of those games you know, like going up against Duke the first time around. Well, really, any time you play Duke, you're going to have to score a lot of points. But you remember how Syracuse beat them the first time around. They needed Duke to not shoot the ball well, and they needed to score, you know, 85 points in regulation and 95 points, you know, with the overtime and win that game. And Frank had a big second half in overtime. You look at North Carolina, they needed to score a lot of points to keep up with North Carolina. They're going to need to score a lot of points to keep up with Gonzaga. And with Frank out of the lineup, that takes one of your offensive options off the floor. I think they can win tonight because, again, Baylor is very comfortable playing this game in the 60s. They are not known for getting up and down the floor. They don't play at a fast tempo. We've seen, you know, Syracuse at times not play at a fast tempo this year. So both of these teams are comfortable in a slower pace game. That's not necessarily going to be the case on Saturday because Gonzaga scores. They're so efficient. They're so good on both ends of the floor that Syracuse is going to have to score a lot of points on Saturday to win that game. And without Frank Howard, that makes it awfully, awfully difficult.
It certainly does. And Steve, you mentioned this earlier, and I'll let you dive into this a little bit more so than me, because you obviously have been covering this team more and covered the teams that have had similar issues, but it is a callback. I mean, Fab Mello getting ruled ineligible on the eve of the NCAA tournament, Orenze going out with the injury, you know, at the beginning to right before the NCAA tournament, you know, going back to before the Vermont loss, there were suspensions going into that game. It feels like this kind of thing happens, whether it's players getting taken off the court or reports of an NCAA violation or whatever it is. It feels like something hits Syracuse every couple of years right before the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and it's unfortunate. The timing of this, you know, could not be worse because you're talking about something that, you know, just as Frank played maybe the best game of his collegiate career against Duke, and I know Tyus wasn't there and he had to take a lot of shots, but Frank was great. Let's face it, down in Charlotte, played very well against Pitt. Played maybe his best game of his career against Duke, and now this happens, and it's something that sounds like is going to end his collegiate career. Could very well end his collegiate career. Again, I don't want to speculate. Jim Boeheim did not get into whether or not Frank, you know, would be eligible or not, you know, going into Saturday should they win. So we don't know for sure what happens beyond tonight. But yeah, the timing is awful. I know Jim Boeheim referenced Jalen Carey yesterday and said he's been practicing better and, you know, that they can go to him. I don't know how much we're going to see Jalen Carey tonight because, again, you know, Buddy and Frank were kind of interchangeable. I think we're just going to see a steady diet of Buddy and Tyus in the backcourt. We know that Baylor's strength is rebounding the basketball, especially offensive rebounds. So I don't know as if SU's going to want to go small and play three guards. Probably not. So I think you're going to see Tyus and Buddy play a bulk of the minutes. Maybe Jalen comes in a little bit in the first half. But I think when push comes to shove, you know, it's going to be a shorter rotation, a shorter bench tonight. And they're just going to have to live with it and hope that it's enough to get by tonight. And then, again, they'll have a mammoth task on their hands for Saturday.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with the Jalen Carey thing because, yeah, if he's practicing better, that's great. And, you know, maybe a light bulb did go off to some extent in the Pittsburgh game where he made a couple of nice plays. He still only played 7 minutes against Pittsburgh and 7 minutes against Duke. You know, even with three healthy scholarship guards, which is what they will go into the NCAA tournament with, it's not like he played a lot of minutes. You know, he was still only playing 7 minutes in those two games last week. I don't know how much he's going to play. You know, to your point, they might say, hey, Buddy, Buddy Tyus, that's good enough for us.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing we should keep in mind is that Tyus hasn't played now in, what, a week and a half. And we do have to keep in mind the altitude. And so, you know, he may need a breather here and there, but it's not going to be long. You know, I mean, if Tyus doesn't play 40 tonight, he's playing 38 or 39. So we might see Jalen Carey sprinkled in here and there. I can't imagine Buddy's going to play 40 minutes. So I think we'll see some Jalen Carey, especially in the first half. But I think once you get past intermission, assuming this is a close game, I think we all expect it to be a close game, I'm not sure either one of those guards is going to come out of the game in the second half.
Some strategic substitutions around the media timeouts,
yeah,
is
exactly
how I would guess that goes. Yeah, get him out with 8.5 minutes to go, so that he's really only sitting out 45 seconds of game time. Yeah, that whole kind of mix and match game. We're talking to Stephen Fonte, normal co-host of this show. He's out in Salt Lake City for Syracuse and Baylor coming up later tonight. Steve, outside of the guard situation, I know that's the story going into tonight's game. What else are you looking at? You know, I brought up Pascal Chukwu as somebody who could have a huge impact impact on this game. We saw him last week against Pittsburgh and just play that phenomenal, phenomenal defense against the Panthers and really create problems. I feel like that's such a huge key because one of the things Frank does so well and one of the really big pieces that he is on the defensive end, and now you don't have that.
Yeah, I think, I'll go back to rebounding. We talked a lot about it yesterday. I think that is going to be a key statistic tonight, and I don't want to harp on it, but I think it needs to be harped on because, Baylor is statistically the number two ranked offensive rebounding team in the country. And as we discussed yesterday, Seth, if Syracuse loses the battle on the boards by double digits, I think they're in a whole lot of trouble. If they can keep it relatively close, I do think that they have enough other things going for them that they'll win this game. But that's something that I'm certainly going to keep my eye on. I threw this stat out yesterday, and in case some of our listeners didn't hear it, Baylor has out-rebounded everybody it's played over the course of the last 24 games with one exception. And during that stretch, they are out-rebounding their opponents by an average of 7.6 rebounds per game, so essentially 8 rebounds per game. When SU has lost the rebounding battle by 8 or more, they're 2-6 this season. 2-6, and one of those wins was against Georgetown when they got absolutely crushed on the glass. Tyus Battle hit the last second shot, and then another one of those wins was inside the dome against Miami, another game in which Syracuse shot the ball awfully well. So, it sounds almost too simple, but I think it's true with this team. When they shoot the ball well, they generally win games, and when they rebound, and they're comparable to their opponent, they generally win games. So I think the rebounding numbers are going to be important, and we all know when this team makes double-digit threes, they're darn near impossible to beat. 8-1 this season when they've made double-digit threes. The one loss against North Carolina when they played arguably their best offensive game of the season, and Carolina was just that much better. If Syracuse can shoot the ball well and rebound tonight, I know it sounds simple, but I think they come out with a win.
Yeah, I mentioned this earlier, Steve, but as far as the three-point shooting goes, since that NC State game on February 13th, including that game, Frank Howard is 26 of 54 from three. That's 48%. So this is a big loss on the offensive side, on the defensive side. But like you said, if they can hold that rebounding margin close and then go on the other end and make a couple of shots, they should be in some pretty good position. A couple of thoughts here I wanted to get from you before we let you go. Obviously, you get Gonzaga against the 16 seed. What other games are out there in Salt Lake City? Is there anything interesting? Is there a game that we should be watching here at the Press Room Pub that you guys have out in Salt Lake?
Well, for local fans, don't forget Jordan Rowland, the former West Hill star, plays for Northeastern. And so he's out here. We actually caught up with him yesterday, and they have an opportunity to try and shock the world, so to speak. So I know that, we'll have kind of one eye on that while we're getting ready for all of our, coverage on News Channel 9 of Syracuse tonight. Our coverage begins at 4:00. So we'll have a little bit of time to check out some basketball in the afternoon. But the fact that Northeastern is out here taking on Kansas, obviously David versus Goliath, but for local fans looking for a rooting interest, Jordan Rowland from West Hill plays on that Northeastern team, and he's one to keep your eye on. And I believe he is one three-pointer away from setting the single-season record at Northeastern. So he's having a fantastic season.
There you go. I said yesterday nobody really cares about anybody else's bracket, so I refrain from saying too much about my personal bracket. I have Northeastern winning, so I hope Jordan Rowland has
a
big
really?
Game. That would be nice. Yeah, why not?
That is a bold pick, Seth.
Kansas has been really underwhelming this year.
That
really underwhelming.
That is absolutely true. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I'm not too sure what to make of Auburn either, in this bracket. So, we've got Auburn against New Mexico
also.
State, Kansas, Northeastern, the two early games. Two possible upset candidates. So we might be treated to some really good basketball, but in terms of the best team in the region, we got to wait till tonight with the first game, Gonzaga, and then obviously all of our focus will be on Syracuse for the late game.
Yeah, it certainly will. Steve, thanks again for coming on, and I know you're busy out there in Salt Lake City. Safe travels one way or the other after this weekend, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks, Seth.
That's Steve Infante, the normal co-host of Orange Nation here on ESPN Radio out in Salt Lake City to get you coverage on News Channel 9 tonight of SU and Baylor. We're here at the Press Room Pub. Come on out. Hang out. We're about 20 minutes away from NCAA coverage really tipping off. Games tipping off starting at 12:15. So come on out, hang out with us at the Press Room Pub. We'll come back, we'll wrap up the show after this and get you off to NCAA tournament coverage here on ESPN Radio.
Live from the Press Room Pub, this is a special NCAA tournament edition of Orange Nation.
Seth Goldberg back with you here on Orange Nation as we take you up until 12 noon. And NCAA coverage coming to you from Westwood One here on ESPN Radio. We'll be joining them at the top of the hour. Game number one getting underway at 12:15. What a way to tip off. What a way to tip off. It's going to be Louisville and Minnesota. It's going to be the Rick Pitino Bowl as Rick Pitino's former team is going up against Rick Pitino's son and the Minnesota Golden Gophers. I don't know that Rick is going to be in the building. I feel like that's an awkward position for him to be in, given that he was very unceremoniously fired from Louisville about a year ago. But if he is, what is the over-under set at on Rick Pitino crowd shots? And is he wearing Minnesota gear? Or is he wearing Louisville gear? I would think that since he got fired from Louisville, he's probably wearing Minnesota gear. But he did win a national title at Louisville. So maybe he wears Minnesota gear but the Louisville ring just to, you know, flaunt it a little bit. And I think I think he gets shown about 20 times. I think that they just keep going to the well on that one on CBS. But that's game number one today. By 1:30, you'll have three games going. It'll be a beautiful thing. By 2 o'clock, all four sites in action. This is, it really truly is. This is the best day of the sports year. I think there's no doubt about that one. As we look through the bracket a little bit, and we got about 9 minutes until 12 noon. We got about 20 minutes until tip-off. You have one last chance to fill out your NCAA tournament bracket with us. So go check out ESPNSyracuse.com. Go fill out your bracket. You've got a chance to win a whole bunch of great prizes. KISS tickets, Breaking Benjamin tickets, a basketball hoop from Atlas Fence with installation. You've got a $100 gift card to Bradley Jewelers and a lot more. So go check out ESPNSyracuse.com. If you can get your bracket in and submitted in the next 15 minutes, you should be good. By tip-off of the first game, you'll be good to get that bracket in and have a chance to win our great prize pack. But let's focus here on a couple of games today. I mentioned the Louisville-Minnesota game, and I'm certainly watching that. I mentioned last segment with Steve, I do have Northeastern beating Kansas, so I guess I should keep an eye on that one. The 5-12 games are typically the ones that are ripe for the upsets, 5-12 and 4-13s. For whatever reason, those are the ones that are ripe for the upsets. You got the AQ out of the smaller conference playing the at-large team that, you know, maybe thought they would be a little bit better than they were this season, like Kansas. And I think that those are kind of the games that you look at for your upset picks. The other game that I'm really watching, there are two more today that I'm going to have a really close eye on. And I've talked about this game all week long, but Marquette and Murray State, it's another 5-12 game. But this one is going to be so much fun because of two players and two players only. Ja Morant of Murray State and Marcus Howard of Marquette. And if you have not seen either of them play, watch this game today. It's at 4:30. Even if you're not playing hooky, right? Even if you're not coming and hanging out with us at the Press Room Pub, and I don't know why you wouldn't be, but even if you're not, by the time you get home from work, you could still catch the second half of this game. Check out Ja Morant and Marcus Howard in this game later today. That is going to be one of the most fun games of this entire tournament, I think, because they are two just dominating guards. They are two guys who can just go out and make plays. Ja Morant is incredible with the dunks that he can make and dunks that he throws down. He put one in the open practice yesterday where you're really just showing off for fans and having fun. He did that thing where he lobs it up, caught it off the bounce, put it between his legs, and dunked it with ease. You know, I talked about him after the NBA dunk contest about a month ago and said the way to fix the dunk contest is to get Zion Williamson and Ja Morant in the dunk contest. That's the easy fix as far as that event goes next year. So watch that game. keep an eye on that. And then another one is Nevada and Florida. And Nevada got a lot of love, a lot of praise coming into this season. They were the trendy mid-major pick to, you know, go make a run, to be in the top 25, to you know, go be a top 15 team. They've had a bit of a disappointing year, but they still picked up a 7 seed. They still, you know, looked all right throughout the course of the season. They did lose in their conference tournament. So check that game out as well. That's coming up a little bit later today. We are here at the Press Room Pub. We're going to be hanging out, watching some basketball here at the Press Room Pub. Come hang out with us. Join us throughout the afternoon. Or if you're stuck at work, if you're stuck at your desk, pull out your headphones, put that little Bluetooth earbud in, and listen to Westwood One's coverage that's going to be here on ESPN Radio Syracuse. You can find the links to stream on our website, ESPNSyracuse.com, or you can listen the good old-fashioned way on 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM. There are plenty of ways to listen to the coverage today and throughout the weekend on ESPN Radio. Thanks for joining me here at the Press Room Pub. Come hang out with us this afternoon and enjoy the greatest 2 days of the sports calendar.